Sphinx, Buddhas, and Butterflies. We are heading into another round in the Houses 7 and 8. And, excuse me, we're shifting gears as we work with the transformation of sadness into sadness and overexcitement into harmony. So this is a really exciting focal point. I like to think of this as like Houses 7 and 8 feel to me very much about relationality and supporting and deepening into what it is to be into connection. And sadness and overexcitement are themes that essentially intertwine around the regions of the heart meridian, pericardium, fire element stuff. So it's beautiful territory to be in this week. I'm excited to dive in and see where we go. Okay, everyone. If you haven't already, please get comfy and cozy. And I'm going to invite you to really just make any adjustments. There's a little bit of road work happening out there. Let me know in the comments if you can hear any background noise. I don't think it transfers. It's decently subtle, I think, says the deaf girl. Because I'm a little bit deaf in one ear physically, but my... okay, good. Thank you. Glad to hear that. It's all fine. Subtle sense of hearing is sometimes more jacked up. As my ex-husband used to say, for a deaf person, you hear really well. So I can never really tell where the sound levels are. So thanks for confirming that. I appreciate that. Okay, loves. Let's shift gears here. I'm going to invite us to begin here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go, to make space, and every breath an opportunity to really let your whole body shake, shimmy, adjust just a little bit more, and let yourself really settle in for today's session. And as you continue to really just settle, I invite you to take a moment to orient. I invite you just to check out your surroundings. You can either look externally or internally, whatever feels right for you, if you want to close your eyes or just cast them downward and look inwardly. And the invitation here is to let your senses go for a little bit of a tour, go for a bit of a walkabout. I'm going to invite them to drink in things that just feel really good to be with. That feel really pleasant, easeful, or even just simply neutral. And then as you're touring, the invitation is to let your gaze, your attention, land on one thing in particular. And to let yourself really drink in the qualities of that thing. See if you can name a few of them. Silently or out loud. And let yourself really savor. Take time to let that rumble through you. And slow down here on purpose. I'm going to start by offering these words. Thank you for gathering here today in these ways. And thank you for being here exactly as you are. Thank you for all that's gone into this sweet moment of connection. Thank you to the families that created you, the ancestors that created them, the lineage that's held it all, and this broader world as a whole. We give thanks for the opportunity to be here on this earth, receiving her nurturing essence, allowing us to come to stillness, to remember what it is to be at peace. And thank you to the sky above, giving us space to explore and room to be curious, to breathe, to gracefully soar. Thank you to the fire that dances just at the very edges of the mystery, the beyond, the unknown, for continuing to support our expansion into the realms that we can never actually truly claim to know. And thank you to the water that purifies our very emotional essence or consciousness, and carries it down to the very roots of our body, through our bones, our blood, our fluids. Thank you. Om Kausai to life. And as we take time to move into the body talk session, we're actually starting off with cortices. The session seems to have this theme. I don't always get a theme, so I was being a bit shy to express it right off the top, but there's this theme that's coming through, and I don't really have clear words, which is also behind the words of feeling a bit shy to say it out loud. But there's this theme of movement, and it's actually a movement towards the left, and it's happening not in a small way. It's happening at a pretty intense pace. I think I might be picking up on the year of the fire horse that's coming in, and that's happening, let's see, in about, I think, 4 weeks, almost to the dates here. And February 17th is the exact date where it transitions, but it's like the pulse of the old, the year of the tail end of the snake, which is the shedding, the releasing, is just beginning to intertwine with the fire horse, which is very much about unstoppable momentum. And it's like, we're going this way. Are you clear? Are you unburdened? Are you ready to soar? Are you ready to gallop? And amongst that, and there can be a little bit of confusion because this theme of letting go requires gentle stillness, and fire horse is like out of the gates. And there's this like, how am I supposed to receive this type of question? So as we work with today's theme, and I know that we are very much overarchingly working through the lens of the houses 7 and 8, and the emotions of sadness and overexcitement, it's actually working with those particular emotions of sadness around, like, how do I actually embrace this level of overexcitement that I've never seemed to have been able to have grasped before? It's like I've been invited to be here before, I've been invited to expand, I've been invited to be a part of something greater, I've been invited to be in the flow of something that feels just a little bit at a faster, more opportune, in alignment with me kind of energy. And sometimes that's gone wrong. I have a history that says, I don't know, the last time I took a chance on things changing or shifting or doing something different, I kind of got burnt and I feel kind of raw about that. So I'm not exactly sure how to sum that up into an even keeled phrase, but that's essentially the theme. So as we head into our work here, cortices, to balance the nervous system and to support the steadiness, the stability, the sense of security and spaciousness to navigate amongst the particular weather that's coming and is currently present. at the same time doing an emotional release here of the exact nature of the theme of, like, there's times where I've been burnt, I've been raw, and I feel kind of burned from hoping that I'm ever going to get a different outcome from taking a risk to do something different again. And it's actually stored in the left side. That's sort of where I was feeling that directionality, the vector of energy that I was really present to, from the left side of the heart, the sense of just, like, tremendous ache. And it's linking into the kidney meridian, which governs heavily through the low back, the bones, the various different fluids of the system. In particular, I'm seeing the CSF fluid, the cerebrospinal fluid that flows through the spinal column and around the skull. And in the kidneys here, in the low back region in particular, it's around worthiness. There's a sense of, like, am I worthy enough to receive? And the old story has been one of, like, actually, I've never really considered myself worthy enough to be receptive. I've never considered myself worthy enough to be even noticed or seen or observed enough to be noticed, to be in the receivership role. And as I say that, just tune into your body and where you're feeling that. And there may be a sense of you feeling in a different area than where I've highlighted it, and that's really welcome. And there might also be a sense of not being able to feel, in the sense of, like, I actually just feel kind of numb about that. And that's also a feeling. Feeling numb is a feeling. Or anything along those lines. Disassociated, depersonalized, derealized, anything. Anything around the realm of numbness or frozenness in a avenue of thinking here. And as you connect to wherever that felt sense is, we're actually going to run a seed tree here. And it's actually continuing for a fairly lengthy time. I don't usually see formulas run for this long, but it's actually running for the next 4 weeks. And it's particularly active through the lens of the amygdala complex, which is a part of the limbic brain that decides how to make decisions, how to respond, how to decide whether or not to make a action based on fear, anger, or rage, or simply be able to notice, like, hey, that emotion is here and that gets to flow through me, and I can take a breath while that's happening, and then I can actually take a different action out of a way to navigate through the balance of that all. And essentially, the seizure, as it runs through this patterned response, is going to be continuing to repattern the typical response of, but I've been hurt, but I've been burnt, and I'm afraid, and I'm actually kind of, like, angry about that. In fact, I might even have a bit of rage about that. And a sense of, like, that hurt me so much. That last time I took a risk and it didn't pay off, and I took a leap and it didn't turn out the way that I thought it would. So that seed tree that's coming in here in a moment is going to basically work through the amygdala complex, that limbic brain, through those emotional responses to navigate the pattern that's held through the heart and the kidneys around that, all around worthiness and the receptivity. So as that runs for the next 4 weeks, starting with C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion. Nerve, our communication. Lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. Along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness. Right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, that help us to heal at all levels, in particular our nervous system and our immune system. And then we're also going to work with the balance of yin, which is the feminine essence of nourishment, which works with the capacity to take in that which is going to fuel you. And then the yang, the masculine energy here of protection, which is that which says, like, hey, it's actually okay to shift gears. It's actually okay to do something different. And then running hydration, helping the cells take in water and joy and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. And as a whole, we're linking that, interestingly enough, into the right jaw. Okay, and it's actually going into a few areas. So it's going into the nerves that innervate through to the lower jaw, as well as into the tongue muscle itself and the various muscles around the throat, including the middle scalene and the sternocleidomastoid muscle. So it's basically working with this general region more so. It's also hooking into the pterygoid muscle and the temporalis muscle. Okay, quite the complex structure here. And essentially it's working with control around all the times that you've held back. And it's like almost a sense of like you've tried to overly hold back because you wanted to restrain yourself to make sure you did your due diligence, to make sure you didn't act too quickly, to make sure you were standing in the correct authority before you decided to assert yourself. And within that, there's almost like an undermining of your own essence or your own power. Undermining of your own power. And within that, it's actually a learned response that's come through the family line. So not just you, but dad. His dad, the dad before him. We're going back a total of 8 generations. So dad's dad's dad, you get the idea, all the way back to 8 generations. And through this male lineage, through this line, this holding back of all the things that needed to be controlled, all the things that needed to be not expressed, all the things that you needed to, like, bite down on. And all the things that weren't allowed safe passage, that couldn't actually move through you for expression or be swallowed in as nourishment through other people's expression. So it's both giving and receiving as a block. And again, the theme here is all defined by the consciousness of worthiness. Like, who am I to freely express or to freely receive expression? And the control element there is essentially that of the intellect, the mind coming in, saying, you know, you probably shouldn't consider any other possibilities here. You probably should shut that down. You probably should, like, keep things really focused here. You probably need to not be curious here. So there's an intellectual shutdown response that's intertwined through the lens of control. I don't want to muddy the waters. I feel like I already might have. But I'm going to toss in one more concept here around control being, and I think I've spoken to this before. If you could imagine control as being like a solitary note that was played at once, and if you could actually take that one note and stretch it out and give it all the space and all the time and stretch it out into like an hour-long musical composition, there would be all the potential possibilities that the mind curiously is looking to explore in a healthy way, and that the system is designed to actually have almost to the point of, some might call it hyper-curiosity, but almost to the point of extreme imagination. And this curiosity / imagination is a tendency to just be really creative and to explore multiple possibilities simultaneously But because there isn't time, there isn't space, there's bills to pay, there's things that need to be taken seriously, you know? Now it all gets like compressed, shut down, and we're demanded to control yourself, focus on what's here, and make sure you survive, make sure you earn a living in our current world. So the structure is basically that of survival. And it's offered to you from a place that the familial lines have learned out of a sense of like, hey, if you want to stay alive, this is one way to do it. And we really want you to stay alive because we love you. It just doesn't always feel like love when it comes through the lens of control or through the lens of hold your tongue, don't say that. Stop receiving those other ideas. You can't think that way. Don't believe what those people are saying. Those ideologies don't add up. You need to not think that way if you want to be a part of our group. So those fractured divisions that come through the intellectualization of different ideas and thoughts or beliefs as an overarching pattern explains why this is sort of hanging out through a diverse muscle group and bone region and nerve innervation region, in all honesty, is intertwined heavily through that particular area, again, of the temporalis, the pterygoid, which goes up into the upper palate, through the TMJ, the mandible, and down into the SCM and the middle scalene in particular. The middle scalene does this motion. It goes like, helps to move your head from side to side. SCM is more like shoulder checking when you're at a light and you're needing to, see if you can actually turn that way, or I should say change lanes. That's the other light. And as we work with that all, that essence of, I'm going to call it the control complex, just for short, to put a handle on all the words that I've used up to that point around this territory, is orienting to the elements of wood. So wood element is actually meant to support us in a moving towards an expanded energy. It's like the energy of spring coming alive. However, this energy is, it's like it's too rigid, it's too wooden. It's actually not helpful for expansion. And we actually need to do a little bit of rearranging here. We actually need to use that as fuel. We can imagine that as feeding that to the fuel of the fire horse. And offering it to creatively supporting, allowing free movement, mobility, expression to travel through these passageways, through the jaw, through the tongue, through the throat. As we do that, it's linking into one teeny tiny yet really significant muscle. It's called the digastric muscle. Hangs out, I think I've spoken to you about it before in the last few weeks on this series. And it hangs out in the lower jaw and it goes into the hyoid, the floating bone in the throat. And essentially, it's like the little shelf. It creates a sense of like your jaw gets to like, rest and be held here. In fact, if you want, you can even just like place your hand underneath your jaw. You can do two if you want. And just like let your head, let your chin, let your whole cranium, your whole skull, like just come to rest on your hands. Notice how that feels. I'm going to offer these words additionally as the permissions. And the words are simply, you don't have to try so hard. You don't have to try so hard. As I say that, it's also energetically unhooking from the base chakra to speak to the survival essence of this complex, this control complex. You don't have to try so hard. As we do that, we're unwinding some adhesions through the digastric muscle to allow it to really just form a firm, stable shelf. Without you necessarily having to reinforce it with your hand, but that it just gets to naturally be there. feel free to keep your hands there if you like, for as much or as little as you want to in the coming days, even that can be ongoing home care, home play, home exploration. And then this is all linking into stomach six acupuncture point, which is roughly about here on the jaw. And for this particular region along, the complex, the stomach six point, and the digastric muscle, we are working with a cellular repair. So we're actually restoring the coordination of all of these centers to work together as a team. It's like they got a little bit out of sync, a little bit fragmented, a little bit out of step, a little bit out of harmony. And one might say that was because they were depressed, and parts in terms of, let me say it differently. It might be because there was a sense of sadness or depression. There can also be, to a degree, a sense of like, I have so much to say all at once, I'm so excited, but it can't all come out at once, and that actually makes me kind of sad that I can't share all of these 59 things simultaneously at once. And it's considered to be almost like a form of like overexcitement, but to the point where, because it can't go anywhere, a sense of depression within it. Okay. It's all linking into, interestingly enough, the eighth house, which is very much about death, rebirth, regeneration. And as we restore these cells back to their fullest potential of health, and we do it through the eighth house, death, rebirth, regeneration. We're doing it for an intergenerational lineage, all the way through the masculine, all the way through dad's side. And as we work with it through that same generational pattern that we were working with before, it's anchoring into the eighth house through the kidney meridian. And we can think of this as offering free capacity to receive as well as offer aliveness through to the sense of creative expression in a way that creates energetic circulation, in a way that offers intensity or passion that's penetrating, that supports our capacity in it's a interesting word that I have here, and it carries a lot of connotations with it, so it might not be what you think it is when you first hear the word. What a setup. And keep an open mind around it. The word is here is like to unleash. If you have ever had an animal like a I have dogs, so I might be thinking about this through a doggo lens. But if you're ever taking your dog to a dog park, you like take the leash off and they just get to like run wild and free, and they like light up, like they're so happy. Yeah, for the most part, there's some that are, you know, they need to learn the rules, they need to get used to it, they need to feel safe enough to, you know, explore their environment in that way. But for the most part, there's a sense of like freedom. And it's kind of like that kind of essence. It's like the energy of like unleashing, not just for you, for the eight generations previous to you through dad's line. And then we're simply running the permissions. It's safe enough to be here now. It's safe enough to be here now. It's safe enough to be here now. And then we're linking that into the pinky fingers, which are connected to our heart meridian. And they're tiny yet mighty. These little pinky fingers, they hold an energy to them. You know, whenever we say like, ah, she's got you wrapped around her finger, we often hold up like the pinky finger. We have like the pinky swear, we have the pinky promise. So there's something about the pinky finger that's notable. And in this way, it's actually coming alive as like the energy of kind of playfully going back to my childhood anyways, maybe yours too, where you did like the pinky promise, where you were committing to exploration of some particular thing, whatever you pinky promised. So if there's something on your heart, if there's something that you're curious to lean into, to freely explore, to creatively come alive in, that feels just on the edge of like a little risque, a little risky. It might even be a little bit like out of the box. It might be something that like no one's ever really thought of you as doing before. I'm going to invite you to imagine that you can make that pinky promise to yourself. And we're actually linking this heart meridian to the very center of your heart. It's linking into the very center, the very core of your heart. And you can imagine the center of the heart as being this central pulsing point where we have an entire electromagnetic system stored that somehow has the intensity to pause all movement and come to direct stillness, to allow anything that's no longer necessary to shed, drop, fall away. And then the pulsing that comes alive after the heart muscle releases its contraction supports the flow, the movement, the momentum that's just like, whoosh, it's off. It gets to go in this direction now. It gets to come alive here. And we're linking that to, interestingly enough, the energy of the earth elements, but in particular going into the earth itself and going into the micronutrients of the earth and the way that different plant life take up those micronutrients. So think of like how trees absorb micronutrients, plants. And in particular, the mycelium network, which is like how the mushroom kingdom connect and talk and grow. It's considered to be, I think, the largest network, even beyond that of trees, if I'm not mistaken. I should research that a little bit more. And there's this awareness that it gets to like whoosh, come alive and come to fruition and come to a level of connection and care and intertwining and interweaving that is likely unfathomable to the human, even conscious mind, and yet is literally below the earth and provides the nourishment deeply that we absorb through our kidney one acupuncture points and the bottoms of our feet, which is what we're linking this all into. So that capacity to absorb nutrients in the same way that trees, plants, mycelium network do, is actually available through your kidney one points, which are roughly in the bottoms of the soles of the foot, roughly in the middle there. And it supports the capacity to drink in the nourishment of the earth itself in the same way that plants drink in those micronutrients from the earth. And in that exact same capacity, there is also a shedding, a release of electrons, a release of the stagnant energy, a release of that which is inflammatory in nature. And as we do that, we're simultaneously releasing the emotion of grief around having held back for so long, of having held in for so long, of having unexpressed you for so long. And we're linking that to the entire neck, to the entire cervical spine in particular, and working through every one of those seven vertebrae, which often have a bit of rigidity to them around the sense of like, it's actually not okay for you to be anything less than perfect. It's actually not okay to even express that something around you isn't okay. You should be perfectly okay with everything that's around you at all times in your environment. which is a form of, well, gaslighting to ourselves. It creates a tendency for, over time, things to feel really depressed, really rigid, and really quite a bit compressed or held back or held in a different kind of a way. It's like I'll just retract. I look like I've got it held all together, but I'm really just like, I'll just withdraw a little bit. I'll just avoid a little bit. I'll just like hold myself back, hold myself a bit apart from that all. I don't know about all that over there. This particular pattern, we're gonna link it into the moon. I don't think I've talked about this for some time, but there are certain things that the sun nurtures, grows, supports life, and there are certain things that only the moon can touch. Only the moon can support certain plant life. Only the moon can support the ebb and the flow of the tides. The moon holds a particular, I don't know, essence of like mystique to it, because it's got this like energy of being associated with darkness, of the night, of the luna, the lunacy. And there's often this sense of like, we don't know what happens there in the dark. That's kind of mysterious and could be risky to go there. Might be a lunatic if you dare to actually explore there. And yet, there's only certain things that can be nourished by that particular flavor of, dare I say, lunacy. Being a bit playful here. And as you support your capacity to be, I'm gonna say held in the dark, it's kind of all of that's kind of like a symbol for not needing to have it figured out, not needing to know. Not needing to have a perfect anything, take a step forward, not having to have it all together, not having to, I think you get the idea, have anything particularly outlined, but the capacity to actually be able to move forward without knowing, the capacity to take an action without actually having thought it all the way through in the thousands of variables that we often like to pretend that we're considering, yet for the most part, we're actually just spinning in circles and we're kind of just a little bit frozen, if we're honest with ourselves. Is it Ram Dass? No, I think it's Alan Watts that speaks to this. That we pretend that we're making a decision for a long time, and then eventually we just decide and it comes out as more of a snap judgment. And he's being a bit quippy when he says it that way. It's not quite that dry. It's not quite that black and white. There's a lot more gray to it than that. Because there are times where we definitely consider certain variables. But for the most part, we tend to, if we're honest, overthink, overanalyze. And have you ever heard the expression paralysis by analysis? It creates this sense of like just getting really kind of cold or stuck. In that particular mode of paralysis, I like to think of it as mental masturbation. I'm pretty sure it's my existential kink. I think I'm channeling Dr. John Beltheim now, and he had a beautiful sense of humor in this regard. There's actually a great book as well called Existential Kink. If you're ever into exploring some different ideologies, that's a beautiful one to bust a lot of things wide open. And amongst that all, we're linking this all, not surprisingly, from the essence of the moon through to the nose, which is often linked to the essence of survival. It's like we don't fall in love with our partner, we fall in sync with our partner because we want to biologically mate with a person whose pheromones that are in alignment with our particular genetic expression that will in turn make beautiful babies that'll healthily come to fruition, is the idea in biology anyways. And on another level, also our nose keeps us alive. We can like smell danger coming. We see animals do that in the wind. Humans are less refined at doing it, but we might be able to like smell our food and see like, did that go bad or did that not go bad? So there's this capacity to, smell our way through life and to keep ourselves alive via that particular instinct. And it's a very interesting sense. It's the only sense that goes directly to the brain and registers at the cortical level. It doesn't go through the thalamus. It bypasses the thalamus. Almost every other input goes into the thalamus, which it's sorted out and moved through history. And instead, this one is like a clear shot that actually bypasses the usual looping of consider all the potential variables through history. And it goes directly into the cortex and says, like, do this, or directly into the reptilian brain, instinctually respond in these ways. Yeah. So there's something really interesting about the sense of smell. We often have a sense of like that, like kind of smells suspicious to us. We're like, I don't know about that. Yeah. And as we work with that, it's actually connecting into to a degree where we began this session, which is that we often filtered things through the history of feeling raw, of feeling burnt, of feeling, I don't want to dare risk and get hurt again. And this is saying, like, hey, what if you didn't actually have to go through all those things? What if you actually just got to, like, whoosh, go through to the direct channel and make a choice based on not history, based on the mystery, based on not knowing an answer, not figuring anything out, but being able to, like, just instinctually respond and go for it. I think I kept saying that the smell is a direct shot to the cortical brain. I meant the reptilian brain all the way through there. So forgive me. My menopause brain is clearly acting up. And as it goes through to the reptilian brain and connects to the instincts, it supports us in directly being able to go for things without having to pause and go into paralysis analysis. Going into, let me just, figure this out. Let me make that decision. Let me just control how I want to, peruse those thoughts. And in essence, it creates an elimination of overworking. It creates a simplification. And as we offer that to the system, to your body mind, we're simultaneously releasing adhesions through those places where you've held strain around, quote unquote, trying to figure things out. So wherever that is in your body, that might be in your low back, that might be in, I have this thing where I cross my legs whenever I'm really thinking about things. And I twist one over the other and it like gets kind of tight. And my left lower leg bones even can get like a little bit wonky in their alignment because there's been a lot of time for I've overthought things for a lot of years. Medical school, I pretty much like the whole time. So it's got a well-worn pattern in there. And my system will often default into that particular pattern. So I don't know about yours, but it'll be somewhere in your body. And for some of you, wherever it is you're feeling strain right now, I imagine, is actually going to be in prominent connections. So wherever it happens to feel kind of like tight. Another area I often feel is in my mid back. And I think it's because I'm like over my computer, over my car. I'm often like not fully upright. I'm somewhat hunched a little bit. And or honestly, over most of my life, hunched over books and not always very concerned about posture because you're invincible when you're in your 20s and your 30s, right? So there's this wherever there that strain is present for you, I'm going to invite you to pay attention because there's information in that. As we work with that all, it's linking into the inner legs, into the called the adductor muscles, so the inner thighs that bring the they move the legs towards each other, and they support you in finding your midline. And in a way, it finds the central axis that supports your entire postural frame. It also supports your capacity just to feel at ease in your sensuality in the world. Or sometimes, if it's overly protective here, if it's too tight, it's too wound, then it can create a sense of like, and overly fearful protection around the sense of like I can't risk things going wrong here. But we're actually working with that middle ground. We're finding the easefulness in being able to coming into healthy alignment amongst all of that. To support that, we're going to run hydration, helping the cells take in water and joy and releasing any impurities. And as we do that through the inner musculature of the thighs, we're also simultaneously working with an emotional release through this region. I'm going to call it, there's a couple of things. There's overwhelm as well as an anticipation energy. Like it's like, I wonder what's coming next. And between the two, overwhelm and anticipation, it's creating almost an energy or a synergy of I'm kind of tired and burnt out, which isn't allowing for that midline to feel very like central. And there isn't a sense of unity to be found amongst that terribly easily. And there just isn't a sense of ease. So as we support that, through an emotional release of sadness now, I don't think I mentioned, but those muscles are also governed by the, it's in the fire element family. I don't want to name them heart or pericardium, but they're in the fire element family. And they're related to this desire to expand, this desire to come alive, this desire for greater, fuller expression of you, to become unleashed. Are we sensing a theme? And as we work with that all, doing one more emotional release of sadness. This is actually through the, I'm actually seeing it in two spots. Through the right arm, as well as through the area right around the gallbladder. And there's like, there's an intertwining here of, can I reach out for what I want? And once I have it, can I bring it back and actually digest it and take it in? Can my gallbladder help me to actually like take it in and decisively enjoy it? So there's this sensation here of do I dare? If I could sum that all up, there's this question of like, do I dare? And there's like, again, this sense of like history where that's got a little bit sour. And there's this anticipation of like what could go wrong. And there's also this draw of like, maybe this time it could be a little bit different. And this do I dare energy, it's like flirtatious almost. And it's actually linking into the solar plexus chakra, which is very much about your confidence. And from there, it's actually linking down to the sexual chakra and up to the heart chakra for rooting through to vitality in the sexual chakra and harmony through to the heart chakra. And that's linking into the entirety of houses 7 and 8 and how those two houses work together, which are notably in the emotional realm, which are notably in the realm of the essence of how fluid can we be in our sense of energy and its expression? How fluid can we be in feeling our feelings? How fluid can we be in honoring what's here for us here right now and not needing to numb it out based on historical survival patterns? In other words, how much do I have the capacity to feel in a way that feels okay in my nervous system where I can still feel regulated? Which is linking into basic nervous system regulation techniques, orientation, grounding, containment. orientation to a degree we've spoken about through the SCM muscle, which turns our head side to side, which helps us to literally take in all the possibilities and to see things. We started off today's session with an orientation practice. Grounding is thought of in two different ways. Often we think of it as like literally putting our feet in the earth. Also, a second less spoken about understanding of it is weaving ourselves into something broader or bigger in a more unified field than we are as our own individual self. Containment. It's kind of like the edges of a riverbank. Can I directionally have a supportive flow, which we've touched on less directly, but it's been in here, it's been in the mix to a degree. And there are very focused tools that go into all of those. Deb Dana is a really big name in this field. So if you want to deepen into the polyvagal tools of grounding, containment, orientation, etc., she does a beautiful job of it. So I highly recommend Deb Dana. She's chef's kiss. Okay, so how much do I have the capacity to feel based on my nervous system's capacity to regulate is fueling the do I dare? And there's this enticement. There's this, like, I actually really want to go for that. I really want to take that next step into territory which I've never touched before. And if you think about it, it's the same curiosity that you had as a baby, who was like crawling towards that new toy for the very first time. It's like, what is that? Yeah. So if you could imagine yourself very much with that same nervous system still here today, alive and well, crawling towards something new, like, what is that? I'm gonna enjoy that. I don't know what that is, but I'm gonna go check that out. And whatever that is, I'm probably gonna put it in my mouth and slobber all over it, as an infant might. Metaphorically, it's like, how does that taste once I actually touch what it is I went after? How does it actually feel in my body? How do I sense that? How much can I enjoy the nourishment that it brings me? To bring you an adult sensory feel to that all. But really, we're just like really big babies, in all honesty, in the most loving of ways. Amongst all of that, we've covered a lot of ground today. We're linking into the, I don't know that I have an energetic or an anatomical term for it, really, but it's at the region of the pubic bone, which is just above the bladder. And if you can imagine that as like a horizontal slice, what a terrible way of wording that. All the way through the body. It's going into that almost as an energetic like platform, like an energetic whoosh, landing pad. That's the word. It's like a landing pad. And there's this sense of letting your body come to rest or come into a grounded landing without having to go into the old survival patterns. But a way that's still here in this territory, but this doesn't need to devolve into history that gets to check out what gets to be here now without needing to figure anything out or know. And through that slice, we're doing one more emotional release of sadness to give it a really clean, pristine landing pad, to give it a sense of, white blank canvas, unlimited possibilities. Okay, I'm going to invite you to bring your hand to that area, to that low pelvis, and or upper pelvis, pardon me, low belly, and take a few deep breaths. We're going to tap this out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive. And then feel free to do this one with me. I'm gonna invite you to take your fingers just to, well, this area just in front of your jaw. And I'm gonna invite you to do this on both sides at the same time. And to just slide your fingers through, I'll put a little bit of pressure down here, and just slide your fingers through the region of the jaw. And let them eventually slide off of the jaw. And there might be a little bit of tension there that they work themselves through. That's welcome. If that's there, it might be a little bit tender or painful. Stay within reasonable limits. And then do that another, say, two times. Just gently creating the energy of not needing to hold back, but getting to actually fall back and surrender. I'll turn to the side just to get a better angle of that. Give it all around your breath. And two more. I've got a song for you. It's about 2.5 minutes long here. And the words, well, I'll let them speak for themselves. It's an invitation to, if you haven't already, feel free to touch back in on that resource that we found earlier, and or let yourself really just honor where you're at right now. And if this is enough, then be here now. Invitation to breathe and to receive. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you for being here exactly as you are. And thank you for being here as the medicine for each other that we never even knew that we needed. What a wild, curious, beautiful human experience we get to share together. Thank you all. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Wishing you a beautiful week, and we will see you after we deepen into this Aquarius season. We're just at the beginning of it. I'm so curious to hear where this unconventional sun takes us in the next few weeks. Okay, y'all, have yourselves a beautiful week, and if you need any additional support, feel free to hang out. Happy to support anybody if that need be. And never even knew we needed love that you love that. Okay, much love. Mwah. Bye for now, y'all.